How many of you are absolutely confident that if today were the last day for you, you'd be with Jesus in heaven? Anybody worried about that? I'm not worried about that. Might be worried about dying somehow, but how it's going to happen. But I am not remotely concerned that this isn't true. By Jesus' name, we are redeemed. That's locked up. I don't think about that very often. I like to hear it often. But I'm not concerned about the end, being the end. And when I'm as a pastor, when I'm with people who have lost a loved one, we don't talk about the end being the end, because that is not the end. We will see one another again in the new creation. That's the hope that we have. What I'm worried about is while I'm here. It's the in-between time between now and then, when I am called to change my evil ways. Because some of that evil is only known to me and maybe one or two other people, because we keep those things really, really secret. The real, real evils that are really detrimental to our walk with Christ, we keep those secret, and it's hard to keep a secret. And so we want to deal with that. So change your evil ways. Okay, how am I going to do that, God? Do you think the Holy Spirit came into your life and said, well, got that done. Take my lunch pail and go home. All done here. They're redeemed. They're now children of God. They're saved. Going to heaven. All good. I'll go on to somebody else. That'd be a nightmare. It would be impossible to A, change my evil ways, and it would be impossible once those evil ways are changed and there's a more positive outlook on life and in the way I live my life to be sustained. If Pastor Lucky came back and said, you know, I was at a church this week and they've decided that they're not going to have communion like maybe once every 3 months. How many of you grew up that way? Nobody here that old. In the Midwest, you know that once every 3 months, because you do it too often, you're going to get kind of used to it. It's weird theology, but we're not going to have communion because we don't need communion once a month or twice a month. It's not going to happen. You're going to have it because it's the means of grace. It's what sustains the life of a disciple. It's the body and blood of Christ that sustains us. It enables us to change our evil ways. It empowers us to live a life of holiness. Fits and starts and a little bit of this, a little of that, down. It's all over the place sometimes. But the good that I would, I don't, Paul says, the evil I would not, I do, O wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? And his answer is Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is in this sacrament of grace, bringing Christ alive within us and enabling us to do far more than we could ever hope to do by ourselves, or to make changes that we thought we could never make by ourselves. We live in a time when it's kind of cool to be organic. Be organic. You know, you can have a nice looking banana that's modified, or a banana looks like not very good, but it's organic. But that's pesticide free. But what's it mean in its original meaning? What's it mean to be organic? It's alive. Something's alive. It's organic. It's real. It's substantive. It's alive. Do you see your relationship with God as being one that's organic? Not stagnant. Not organic. He didn't just plant the seed and said, well, this is going to grow. It's an organic relationship. Every day, the Spirit of God is working in our lives. Never takes a day off. I'm not always cooperative, but I can count on him being there to complete the work that he started when he brought me into relationship with Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul spoke to the church at Philippi, that's what he said. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Faithful to complete it. No matter how old we are, we still have some distance to go when it comes to making changes in our lives. I always find it refreshing when I can go to the Lord's Supper and say, God, I've got something new this week. Because those old sins get kind of wearing. Yeah. But when you see changes made, you say, you know, I'm not having that problem as much as I used to. But I got a couple new ones here working on. Because it seems like that holiness mountain is just up there. You just never kind of get where you think you want to be. But we know that the Spirit of God is in us and with us and before us and beside us and in those who are walking in the faith with us to sustain us on the journey of faith. Called, gathered, enlightened. That's who we are in Jesus Christ. A pastor was speaking to a group of children and he said, now kids, if all of the good people were red and all of the bad people were black, what color would you be? And she said, one little girl said, I'd be streaky. Out of the mouths of children, huh? I'm streaky. You're streaky. I don't even have to know you. I know you're streaky. We have streaks when, you know, the holiness is pretty apparent. And you go, boy, we're making some progress here. And then there's this retreat. And we come before God and said, God, I need you to focus on my life again as much as possible. Because I need to move forward and I want to move forward. Again, Paul to the church of Philippi. That God has made a commitment to us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. To will and to work for his good pleasure. No sabbaticals, no time off, no days off. He said, I'm always working in your life to help you to grow up into the head, which is Christ. Whew, that's a lofty spot to be. Maybe just bring me up to a disciple. Let's have that for a goal. 17 or 18 years ago, I was introduced to the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The first part of that's important for us as believers as well. God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change. What can't you change today? You can't change your humanity. You're an imperfect, flawed human being. Always have been, always will be. A good person, a believer in Christ, but we will always be imperfect. We were born, we came to this world that way. That will not change. Can you live with that? I can, because the other piece to that is that I am a saint in Christ. I am a holy person. I belong to him, and nothing I can do today or tomorrow other than unbelief will separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a good way to look at every day. This is who I am by birth, but this is also who I am in Christ. I'm a holy person. I can do some things today that I couldn't do on my own. The second part of that is the courage to change the things I can. I'm under the illusion that somehow I'm in control of this day. That I'm in control of my future. That I can control people in a congregation. Or that I can control my spouse and my children. Or that I can even control a cat. Now that's an illusion. That is stupid. But Luther said there's really only one sin, and that is I'm turned in on myself. I don't need any other enemies. I don't need anybody else working against me. I have to deal with myself. That I'm in control. that I'm in charge, that I can make things happen, that I can redirect things. There are some things I can do, but there's a lot that I cannot. And one of them is control. And you know what happens when you have the courage to say, okay, because I'm a child of God, I can say, God, I don't have the courage I need to put me in second place and you in first place, but I'd like that to happen. Every time that I'm under this stupid idea that somehow I'm it at this moment, it's all about me. I want you to smack me at that moment, interfere with your spirit, and say, no, you're not. Again, I'm going to remind you, you're not. But I am. And when you get to that point, isn't that a huge relief, because we're not living with this numbing worry that we got to make it happen. But when you say, Lord, I can't. You've promised you can. There's only one step left. I think I'll let you. Takes courage to give up the reins that you think you have. But that's what we're asking. That's my prayer every day, many times a day. Lord, give me the courage to do it differently. To see you as you are to be seen and recognized. I don't know what yours is going to be. What you're looking for, the courage to make a change in a certain part of your life. Say, I want to do this different. I want to be different over here. But when we pray, the Spirit of God says, I'm at work there. I will not give up on you. I will not let you stay the same. I will be with you. And this is an organic relationship. I'm going to continue to create and recreate and enliven and invigorate you, because that's my commitment to you. I think you've come to the right place today. The place where we can come forward and receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, Christ with us, in a way that we cannot explain or even fully understand, but we know it makes a difference in not only how firmly we believe in Christ as Redeemer and Savior, but how firmly we rely on Him to live a holy life more consistently. And we get it here, and we get it freely. Restorative grace to stand up again and to take on the responsibilities and the privileges we have as disciples of Christ. It is here that He makes us right with Himself again and enables us to leave this place as the disciples that we have called, that we are called to be, disciples that we are, and disciples that will always go in the light of Christ. May that light never grow dim in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit, who works mightily in our hearts, in our lives, in our day-to-day, in our behavior, in our disciplines, and in all that we say and do. We thank you that your Spirit is overseeing all that is going on in our lives as Christ followers. Continue to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.